We have it working, Baruch Hashem. Thank you to Malki for setting us up and getting us ready to learn. Welcome to our special pre-Purim Shir at the Ohel Sara Amen group. We are learning Lilui Nishmasa and Lezecha Nishmasa, Sara Yuta Allah HaHasham, Lezefraim Menachem Mendel, Ledina Martin, Sheyichu, may her neshama have an aliyah in the merit of our Torah learning, as the Zuschus Refuah for Chai Rezel Bastina, Besoch She'ar Cholei Yisrael. Okay, so this is a pre-Purim Shir. We are a week away from Megillas Esther, from Tainis Esther, I should say. This coming Shabbos is Shabbos Parshas Zachar, and we really begin the observance of these festival days. Kashem sheminichnas av, mema'atin besimcha, kach misha nichnas adar marbin besimcha. And I heard a Valley Mouth Biederman say a very beautiful verb. Mashpia, Rav in Eretz Yisrael, Valley Melech Biederman says, what does the Gemara mean when they say, Kishem, Sheminichnas av mima'atin besimcha, kach mishenichnas adar marbim besimcha. Why don't you just tell me, mishenichnas adar marbim besimcha? Why do you need to compare it to av? So he said, very nice. He said, if you would walk into a base medrash or a shul or any kind of environment, what was that? During the 9 days, and you would see somebody drinking wine and eating meat and playing music, not because they had a siyum or a special occasion, but stam. Today they woke up and they wanted to have meat and music and wine, and they're celebrating. They're taking a hot shower and they're doing laundry. You'd say, what are you doing? It's av. It's the 9 days. We're mourning for Churban Beis Hamikdash. Don't you know you have to diminish your simcha? This isn't the time for that. So you would say, go and you would tell him, and he would have to stop. Kashem sheminichnas av mema'atim besimcha, kach mishenichnas adar mar besimcha. If you see someone during Adar who is downcast, who is nervous, who is depressed, who is sad, you have to tell them, what are you doing? It's Adar. During these days of Adar, it's a mitzvah to be besimcha. How could you be like that? And then he ended off by saying, we shouldn't be looking at other people, we should be looking at ourselves to increase our own simcha. I posted this on the sibling chat, and I thought it was very moving and inspiring. So one of my sisters-in-law said, thanks, I really needed that. So I said, me too. Between coronavirus and the presidential election, I'm really stressed out. So I don't know if anyone saw the cover of Mishpacha this week, which was Bernie Sanders. I did not even read it. I can't even. I said, between coronavirus, you know, last week, and the panic and the hysteria and the election, I can't. I'm so stressed out. She says, oh, I just meant for my kids. I really needed that. True story. Okay, so kashem sheminichnas av mima'atin b'simcha. You wouldn't be celebrating av, and you would tell someone, don't you know the lacha? You're not allowed to do that. Oh, kach mishenichnas adar marbin b'simcha. You cannot be having a sense of yeush and depression and fear and terror, which the media, of course, is trying to instill in all of us. Like the same system I said, do they tell you every single person who gets the flu? One person in New York has the flu. Do they tell you when everyone has the flu? Try to create a sense of spirit. It's Adar. What is the midah of the month of Adar? The midah of the month of Adar is a month of simcha. And I've said it before, but I think it's really, really interesting that when you look at the word simcha, it can be seen as a contraction of sam moach Hashem. Sam moach Hashem. When you put your mind, when you put your brain, when you put your thoughts to the Ribono Shelom, and you realize that Hashem is master plan and Hashem is in charge. I'm not in charge here. The Ribono Shelom is in charge. That is a source of the greatest simcha. When the Jews in Shushan, when we today remember that the Ribono Shelom is running the show, even when he seems to be Hester, Nistar, Esther Min HaTorah Minayin, even then, when God is hidden and we really talk or do not understand, nevertheless, that is a tremendous source of simcha. And says Rabbi Biederman, you're not allowed to celebrate. And you're not allowed to have a sense of yeush and sadness and forlornness and depression. I'm not talking about medically, chas v'shalom, during the month of Adar. It's very, very interesting when you look at Megillas Esther. We all know it's so famous that the name of Hashem is absent. It's a 10 prakim long Megillah, which, by the way, we think happens over 10 days, you know, one perek per day. But as we are learning in our fascinating Megillas Esther in depth series, the first party in perek Aleph was in year 3 of Achashverosh's rule. The second party that he made for Esther at the end of perek Beis, when he appoints her, Misht Esther, was in year 7 Right? So from Perek Aleph, 18,500 Jews attended the party. In Tol Perek Beis and Mishta Esther, 4 years elapsed. That's the term of one presidency. So there was time in the story happened. It wasn't like today he was elected and he celebrated with King Beis Hamikdash, and later that afternoon he kills Vashti, and then the next day he's a beauty pageant and he finds Esther, and the next day Haman says, let's kill the Jews, and the next day Esther makes a party, and the next day Haman's on the tree, and the next day we should send Mishloach Malas. That's not how it happened. It's over a period of time. So when we say Esther, not when we say, when the Gemara says, Maseches Chulin, Kof Lametas Amr Beis, Esther Minatora Minayin, where is there a reference in the story to Esther Hamalka? And the Gemara says very clearly, Beferish, quoting Psukim from Parshas Vayelech, Perek Lamed Aleph Psukim Yud Zayin through Yud Ches, towards the end of the book of the Devarim, and when the Torah says we will turn away from Hashem and serve other gods, the end result will be the Ribbono Shel Olam will hide his face from us, and we will become like food. We will become consumed by the nations. Oh, thank you very much. Malki's running our show today. Thank you. Tizku mitzvos umaisim tovim. So the Gemara says, if you want to know where there is an effort, a reference to Esther Hamalka in the Torah, Hamin mina Torah minayin, Hamina eats a shur sivisicha levilte achalmi menu achalta. Did you eat from the tree? I forbade you not to eat from. Hamin ha'eitz haman eitz. Mordechai mina Torah minayin. Parshas Kitisa, next week's parsha. When you look at the spices of the Ketores, there was Mora Dvar, and if you look at Unkus there, it looks like the name Mordechai. And the Gemara says that that's a reference to Mordechai mina Torah from the Ketores. Esther mina Torah minayin, perhaps the most famous of these three quotes of Minayan is, I will hide my face from the people on that. Because why? We turned away from Hashem. We worshipped other gods, and therefore the bad consumed us. We became like cannon fodder, and the Ribbono Shel Olam hid his face. So when we talk about Hashem hiding his face, there was a long time till Gilui Shechina. What does it mean that we turned away from Hashem? So the Medrash Rabbah tells us, I'm quoting from Medrash Esther Rabbah, 7:13. Some of you were in class this morning with me and we quoted this. You will hear it again. So the Medrash Esther Rabbah says, you could always use Chazara. So the Medrash says, I'm just going to move some of my things for now. So the Medrash says, Haman Harasha Ba'al. Haman Harasha Ba'alila Gedola Ba'al Yisrael. Haman the wicked came with a great plot and pretext against Bnei Yisrael. Hadahu Dichtiv, like the Pasuk says, Uvimlos Hayamim Ha'ela, at the completion of these days, Asah HaMelech L'chol Ha'am HaNimtzim B'Shushan Habira L'Megdol V'Ad Katan Mishta Shivas Yamim. If you remember that after the first party, Ahasuerus made a second party. I'm not talking about the Mishta Esther in year 7. I'm talking about in year 3 when he's celebrating what he thinks is the eternal downfall of the Jews. According to his calculations, 70 years have passed after Churban Bayis Rishon. The Jews are not going back, so he puts on the Big Day Kahuna and Kalim and Kalim Shonim, and he serves the Kalim from the Beis HaMikdash, and everyone's drinking ad nauseum, and the Pasuk says he makes a second party after the first party. Uvimlos hayamim ha'ela, at the completion of the first party, asah ha'melech l'chol ha'am ha'nimtzim b'shushan habira, l'megdol v'ad katan, he makes another party. Now note, it says at the completion of this party, the king made l'chol ha'am. Ha'am. There's a hey ha'yedia before the word am. This is Esther 1:5. Parak Aleph, Pasuk Hey. So note it's Ha'am. So there's a Hey Ha'yediyah before the word nation. So what does that indicate? We're talking about when there's a Hey Ha'yediyah, we're talking about a specific thing or a specific object, or in this case, a specific nation. Who is Ha'am? What are you saying? I can't hear. One person. Eretz Yisrael? Eretz Yisrael. Am Yisrael. Ein ha'am ha'amur kan ela Yisrael. We're not talking about any nation. Specifically, the nation of Israel. Hadahud, what's wrong? Oh, okay. Thank you so much. Okay. Because like the Pasuk says in Devarim, Ashrecha Yisrael, mi kamocha, am nosha b'Hashem. So this is a proof that ha'am means the second party is catering to who? Am Yisrael. Now remember, we're in Galus. The Beis HaMikdash has been destroyed. We are dispersed. Am Echad Mefuzar U'Mefurad Bein HaAmim. Daseim Shonos Mikol Am V'Estaseim Melech Ein Amosim. We are dispersed in 127 provinces. We have a weird religion. We do not listen to the king. Amar Haman L'Achashverosh. Haman is quoting from Medrash Esther Rabbah 7:13. Haman said to Achashverosh, Elokeihim Shel Elu Sonei Zima. I have a plan. The God of these ones hates lewdness, hates promiscuity, hates unsneeous things. Ha'ameid lahem zonos. So what should you set up at the party? Prostitutes. Va'aseh lahem mishta. And you should make a big feast. Ugzar aleim shayavau kulam. You should make a decree that they should all come. V'yochlu, v'yishtu, v'ya'asu kirtzonam. This is what Haman says to Achashverosh. I have a plan. The God of these people hates lewdness. Let us set up zonos, prostitutes. Let us make a feast. Decree upon them. I'm reviewing what we already said in the Lashon of the Medrash. Decree upon them that everyone has to come. V'yochlu, they'll eat. V'yishtu, they'll drink. V'ya'asu kirtzonam, whatever they want to do. Let them do. As the Pasuk says, La'asos kirtzon ish v'ish. When it says La'asos kirtzon ish v'ish, it means whatever you want to do at the party, everybody could do in terms of being ansanua and being inappropriate with these zonos in terms of eating and drinking, no problem. Kevan shara'a Mordechai kach. So what happens? Mordechai ha-Yehudi, ish Yehudi haya b'shushan habira. The Jew, the proud Jew, saw. What happened? Ahmad, he got up. V'hichriz aleihem, and he puts on an announcement. He puts a proclamation. He's screaming at the people. V'amar lahem, and he says, Lo selchu la'echo b'suda sosha Achashverosh. What are you doing? He sits at the palace gates and he says, what are you doing? Do not go to eat at the feast of Achashverosh. Shelo hizmin eschem ki'im lelamed aleichem kategoria. Ein sanegor asa kategor. He only did this to bring a prosecution against you. Why are you smiling? You learned somewhere else?
No, a different reference.
It's a too long of a story. It's the same thing that Bilam said. Okay, that also. Shalo hizmin eschem ki'im lelamed aleichem kategoria. He only did this to set a prosecution against you. Mordechai, the tzaddik, stood up and he said, don't go to the party. Kidei sheyeh pitchon peh im midas hadin lekatreg aleichem. Haman only did this so he would have an opening with midas hadin, the divine attribute of strict justice, lekatreg aleichem. So he can prosecute against you in the heavenly court, lefnei kadosh baruch hu, before the Holy One, blessed be he. Below Shamu Ledivrei Mordechai. We don't understand the Megillah. I can attest to that personally, Baruch Hashem, at the age of 43, because I am teaching an in-depth course on Megillas Esther, and I will tell you, like the women who are attending my course, that we do not really understand the Megillah. Like someone said to me last week after the shir, she said, you know, my whole life, I thought it was like a cute story. Happens in a few days from start to finish. They want to kill us. We saved the day. Hashem, who's not there, saved us. And now we're going to celebrate. There's so much going on in the Megillah that is hidden to us. And in fact, I heard a shir last week by Rabbi Shmuel Marcus. It was very meaningful for me to go, besides the fact that he's a Talmud Chacham and respected Magid Shir Leander's College and a Rav in Queens. His father, Zatzal, Rav Rafal Marcus, a son-in-law of Rav Aaron Salvechik, was our Rav, the Rav B'nai Torah Shul, in Toronto growing up. And I grew up with the Marcus, a very chashuv family and children. I would walk with sister to the bus stop every day. It wasn't like today, you took a phone, and if it was raining, your mother said, take an umbrella, and you left the house, and you saw her, you know, many hours later after taking public transportation. So it was just very meaningful for me to be docha, to attend his shir. But one thing that he pointed out, when the Gemara says in Chulin, Kof Lamed Tas Amabez, which we already quoted, Esther Min HaTorah Minayin Anochi Aster, Aster Panay Mikem Bayamahu, God will hide his face. So the most obvious interpretation is that Hashem is missing from the Megillah. We all know that. You don't find, I know HaMelech is an allusion to Hashem, but Befeirush, you don't have Shem Hashem evidence anywhere in the Megillah because God is hidden. But Shmuel Marcus pointed out something else. The whole Megillah is called Megillat Esther, Megillas Esther. Esther means hidden. There are so many hidden things in the Megillah. There's a story of the Psha, and then there are layers and layers and layers and layers of things that are hidden that we don't even appreciate. What is hidden? First of all, he said Esther's identity is hidden. That's one of the things in it. The most obvious is that the Ribono Shel Olam is hidden. I just quoted this morning, Rabbi Lam says that Haman hid his intentions. The Jews attending the party is hidden. The whole deep story behind the Psukim is hidden from us. It's a Megillah of Esther, Megillah of Hester. It's a hidden Megillah that requires toil and learning to uncover what is really going on here. It's a much deeper story and a much deeper Yom Tov. There is much more than meets the eye. The whole Megillah itself is a story of things that are hidden. This is one of the things that is hidden to us, that the Jews went to the party, that Haman set up Zonos at the Mishnah with Basar and Yayin, and Mordechai sits at the entrance and he says, don't go. He only wants to prosecute against you. And they did not listen. Lo shamu ledivrei Mordechai v'holchu kulam lebeis ha-Mishnah. And they all went to the house of the party. Amar Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Yishmael continues the Medrash. Shmona asar elef v'chamesh me'os holchu lebeis ha-Mishnah. Shmona asar elef v'chamesh me'os holchu lebeis ha-Mishnah. 18,000, almost 20,000 Jews, which is a very large number, especially considering that back then the world was less populous than it is today. 18,500 Jews went to the party, the house of the Mishnah, v'achlu, v'shasu, they ate, they drank, v'nishtakru, from shikur, they became drunk, v'nis kalkulu, and they sinned. Miyad amad satan, v'hilshin aleim lifnei kodesh baruch hu, hilshin, like lashon. Immediately the satan got up and he had a tongue, in other words, literally, hilshin, he slandered, he had a word to say to kodesh baruch hu. Ribono shel olam, ad masai tidbak be'umezu, shehei mafrishin levavam ve'emunasam bimcha. God, how long will you continue to cling to these people, ha'am, the hei ha'yidia, shehei mafrishin levavam ve'emunasam bimcha. They are mafrish their hearts. They separate, they estrange, our school says, they separate and estrange their hearts and their faith from you. And it's very interesting that throughout the Doros, despite assimilation and such happenings where we consider ourselves in the highest echelons of power and government and acceptance, not only have we stuck by God, but the reality is that the Ribono Shel Olam has stuck by us. And one of the things that the Satan says is, Ad masai tidbak bu'u mazu, shehei mafrishin levavam ve'amunasam mimcha. They cause their heart and their faith to be separate from you. So with this, we will segue into the next part of Shir. And we have to ask, do we really remove our hearts from the Ribono Shel Olam? Shehei mafrishin levavam ve'amunasam mimcha. We remove, said the Satan, our heart and our faith from you. We know that the Pasuk tells us, of course, very famously, we say it every day. It's from Devarim, Perek Vav, Ve'ahavta es Hashem Elokecha, Pasuk Hei, B'chol Levavcha, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokecha, Hashem Echad, Ve'ahavta es Hashem Elokecha, B'chol Levavcha, B'chol Nafshecha, U'v'chol Me'odecha. You shall love Hashem, your God, with all your heart. So the Satan charges that we do not love God with all our heart. V'chol nafshecha, with all your soul. U'v'chol me'odecha, and with all your me'od. So me'odecha, Rashi says, v'chol mida u'mida shamodedecha, ben b'mida tov, ben b'mida pranus. And Rashi also says, v'chol memancha, serve God with all your money, resources, and also with each and every measure that he gives you, whether a measure of blessing or a measure of difficulty. B'chol nafshecha, afilu nota es nafshecha, even if he takes your life. I'm moving backwards here. And b'chol levavcha, Rashi famously quotes from Maseches Tainis, Beis Amar Aleph, Tainis 2a, Eze hi avodah shehi b'lev, how can you serve God with all your heart? Havei omer zohi tefillah. So how could you serve God with all your heart? It's not a tangible mitzvah. I can't make a bracha. I'm not shaking arba, meaning I'm not eating matzah. What does it mean? It's a positive command to love God with all your heart. How can I fulfill the mitzvah of loving God? So Rashi says you should love God how? Quoting the Gemara in Tainis, Zohi Tvila. You should pray before the Ribono Shel Olam. Did we really, like the Satan charges, remove our heart and our faith from the Ribono Shel Olam? I want to propose that in the story of Esther and Mordechai and the anonymous Jews in Shushan, and in this time period of Hester Panim, and yes, we sin, but there is another element that is hidden in the Megillah. We mentioned the number of things that were hidden. Esther, her religion and her nationality is hidden. God is hidden. Haman's plot is hidden. The Jews' partying is hidden. So much is hidden. Another thing that is hidden from us is the element of tefillah. That actually underscores the whole story of the Megillah. It makes sense that it is hidden, because just like a person's heart is hidden, tefillah is avodah shebelev. Tefillah is often something that is hidden. If you go into Beis Knesses and you see everybody davening, I recently, and this is something that I've spoken about, and then I saw it brought down in much nicer, powerful, more impactful words by Rav Soloveitchik, but it was almost like a haskama to what I've been saying all along, which is that everybody seems to be saying the same thing. But if there are 100 people in that Beis Knesses, or 50, or only a minion of 10, everyone is actually saying something else. Why? The words might be the same, but the avoda of the lev differs from person to person, from moment to moment, from time to time. And therefore, all those people are actually davening for something else. And so in a sense, tefillah has a dual aspect, but just like the Megillah. On the one hand, it is revealed. We all bow by modim. We all take 3 steps back and then 3 steps forward before you begin that meeting. You all clap by slach lanu. So you all cover your eyes with a shema yisro Hashem el kenesh amechad. I once heard a beautiful word. Why? Relates to what we're speaking about. The fingerprint is unique and the eye print is unique. That's why now you could cross the border to Canada with clear, I think they call it. All they need is your eye print. Just like your fingerprint is unique, so too your eye print is unique. So you take your unique fingerprint and your unique eye print and you put them together saying, my life is unique. Unique for me. Hashem is the God of all of us, but everything that I have, when I am a Kabbalah, all Malchus Shemayim, I'm acknowledging this life is exactly unique for me. So you go into Beis Knesses, and if it's even only a minion of 10, not only, it's very chashuv, a minion of 10, everybody is davening avodah shebelev. So tefillah has the external component, the outward, what is visible, like the Megillah story. And then tefillah has an inner component, a hidden component, which differs from person to person, like the Megillah has a hidden story, just like it has an external story. Rav Soloveitchik says, we usually think of Purim in terms of indulgence and merrymaking, to the point of forgetfulness and the dullness of the senses. Why? Because we have a mitzvah to drink. The Gemara says in Maseches Megillah, Adulo Yada, and Arur Haman Lebarach Mordechai, you should drink until you don't know the difference. You have to be pretty drunk to not know the difference between Amalek and the God of Hadar. So you should drink till you don't know the difference. I'm not recommending it. Watch your children and watch yourselves. I don't know today how that should be interpreted, with the dangers that abound, but Rav Soloveitchik says, we usually think of Purim in terms of indulgence and merrymaking to the point of forgetfulness and the dulling of the senses. Actually, Purim, so in other words, we tend to think of Purim as only external, one layer, just like the Megillah, one layer, one story. However, Purim is also a day of introspection. What is introspection? The hidden side, the inside, the story that is more than meets the eye, what people do not see. Purim is a day of introspection and prayerful meditation. We don't typically think of Purim as a day of tefillah. The Megillah is both a book of thanksgiving, that's why we don't say Hallel on this day, because the Megillah is a book of Hallel, and it is a book of distress and petition. Rav Soloveitchik sees in the Megillah the whole theme of tefillah, which is not usually how we approach this story. I will repeat from the beginning, we usually think of Purim in terms of indulgence and merrymaking to the point of forgetfulness and the dulling of the senses. Actually, Purim is a day of introspection and prayerful meditation. The Megillah is both a book of thanksgiving, on the one hand, lohodo zulahala, and on the other hand is a book of distress, tsa'ar, and petition, tfilah, trina. The narrative relates two stories, not one story. It relates the people in a terrifying predicament, lahashmid, laharog, la'abed, as kol ha'yehudim, mina'ar va'ad zakein, taf v'nashim. There are many of our enemy today who would like very much to carry out the same thing. And on the other hand, it is a story of great exhilaration, like Yehudim Haisa Ora, Vesimcha, Vesasun Vikar, and their sudden deliverance, Venahafachu. Since it is impossible to juxtapose contrary moods into one day, so what should we be on Pur? Should we be ecstatic? Should we have merrymaking? Should we have jubilation? Or should we be in terror and panic and fear? Our sages instituted Tainis Esther for the 13th of Adar in anticipation of Purim. So these 2 days with totally different moods and reflections form one Yom Tov, because the Megillah itself is really a book of two stories. There's the external triumph and there's the internal pandemonium. They advance the supplication aspect of Purim to the preceding day. So what do we do with the Yom Tefillah that should be Purim? We move it to the day before, which is Tainis Esther. Why the 13th of Adar? Because the Megillah says, Befeirush, that the day that Haman chose to annihilate all the Jews was on Shlosh Asar Yom, the Chodesh Adar. So he wanted to kill us on this day, so we fast on this day. Because that's not actually when Esther fasted. When did Esther fast? Exactly right, Pesach. They advance the supplication aspect of Purim to the preceding day, when Slichos and Avinu Malkeinu are recited, and a mood of solemn penitence prevails. So we have to remember when we come to Megillas Esther that this is in essence a part of the celebration of Purim itself, but it is the day of reflection, of somber acceptance upon ourselves, of our sins, of the errors of our ways. 18,500 went to party, and a move towards teshuva, to coming back to God, of stirring up the heart in prayer. The fast of Esther and Purim are integrally connected. They're not two different days. They're one unit of the same celebration. But one day is a Yom Tefillah, Techina, and one day is a Yom Simcha. They're integrally connected. Unlike, says the Rav, Pesach and Tainis Bechorim, the latter does not form part of the festival. It is an extraneous addendum. However, Tainis Esther, says of salvation, is a genuine Purim day. Purim is not one mood. There is hidden elements to the day. On the external, it's a day of rejoicing. On the internal, it's a day of somber reflection, of terror, of fear, of pachad, of annihilation. So what do we do with this day? Which day should it be? We move that to Tainis Esther. So now you could ask me, what about how we started? Kishem shem minichnas av marbin b'simcha kach mishinichnas adar. Did I say right? Mishinichnas av adar kach mishinichnas adar. So you're not allowed to be sad. Well, that's part of the character of the day. And if the sages instituted that we have this, then Chazal, in their wisdom, understand the need for a Yom Tefillah as connected to Purim. So I didn't institute to be sad today. That's a different matzav. I can't do that. I'm nobody. But if that's the halacha, then that's how we can observe. Tainis Esther is a genuine Purim day, reflects the foreboding fear and prayer of the Jews as they gave battle to their enemies. Purim day itself celebrates the victory, the sudden miraculous salvation. So we join a fast day and a feast day. Says of Salvechik, the joining of a fast day, Yom Tainis, and a feast day, Yom Su'uda, bespeaks the dual character of Purim. There's a dual character. It is Megillah of Hester. It is a Megillah that is hidden. It's not the cute story you see, a Pasha Pshat, a king and a queen. The queen is killed, a new queen. Beauty pageant, she saves the Jews, wonderful. Of course it is that on Pshat, but there's so much more. There's a dual character to everything that occurs in this story and on this day. Perhaps the common feature, continues Rav Salvechik, to both Purim and Yom Kippur, because we know Purim is Yom Kippurim, so Purim and Yom Kippur are connected, is that aspect of Purim which is a call for divine compassion and intercession. So we should not forget the somber character that it is a Yom Tefillah. But when is Yom Tefillah? Tainis Esther, the preceding day. It is a mood of petition arising out of great distress. Anyone who finds themselves in great distress knows how they feel when they petition the Almighty. This is a communal day of great distress. While the fast of Esther reflects the terror of the threatening physical extinction of the people, the prayerful mood of Yom Kippur, and therefore Tainis Esther, emerges out of a sense of spiritual anxiety and the desperate need for reconciliation with God. Need for reconciliation. Why do we need to reconcile with God? Because what we were doing What was the culture of the time? There were zonos, we read it inside. There was a mishta, there was a chila, there was shesia, adelo yada, not for a positive way. Adelo yada, till you forgot you were Jewish, and then you could do whatever you wanted. There's a desperate need for reconciliation, just like Yom Kippur is a day of mechilas avonos. So too Tainis Esther, which precedes... Well, I just saw something cool. Yom Kippur, which is a day of mechilas avonos, and Yom Tefillah precedes the Simcha of Sukkos. Simcha of Sukkos is the only time in the Torah lists the Shalosh Regalim that we have the word Simcha two times by Sukkos. V'samachta b'chagecha v'ayisa ach sameach. So it uses the Lashon of Simcha twice. The essence of Sukkos is a Yom Simcha, preceded by Yom Kippur, Yom Tefillah, Techina, Teshuvah. So too you see the same thing by Purim. You have the Yom Kippurim, the day of terror and tefillah, reconciliation, preceding the day of Simcha. Because the true Simcha comes from returning to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So first I have to daven to God to take me back. So Megillas Esther, preceded by Tainis Esther, allows us the opportunity to pray to God from the place of our distress and allows us to come back to Him after the desperate need for reconciliation with the Ribbono Shel Olam. So we should not just pass the day and it's, you know, I just said to my husband last night, in Israel it wouldn't be like this. We mamish change the cocks. Erev, Tainis Esther. So it's an extra long day. Sometimes it's hard to have kavana, the proper kavana, with the hecticness of the day, and the kids are off from school, or at least half a day, and some people prepare their mishloach manos on Tainis Esther, for lack of time possibly before, and you need things to do with the kids, and you need to prepare, and you need this, and you need that, and you're hungry. But don't forget the power of this day. It is the day of solemn prayer that precedes the Simcha, just like Yom Kippur, Yom Kippurim, prepares us for the Simcha of Sukkos. And I thought, and I'm going to quote, I quoted it last year, so I'm happy that Mrs. Feiner is back and just came back yesterday, last night, and Baruch Hashem is joining us today. So I'm quoting from the book by Avi Feiner called Purim Eternal. So I think my favorite essay in here is called Center of Focus. The Gemara Masachas Kiddushin explains the early scholars were referred to as sofrim, meaning ones who count, lisaper, lispar, to tell, to count, because they would count the verses, words, and letters of the Torah. They would be able to calculate the middle verse, word, and letter of the Torah. Okay, so it goes from Masachas Kiddushin Lamed, Amid Aleph, that they were called sofrim, not only a scribe or to write, because the same root word as lisaper, to count. And a sofer could count to identify the midpoint of Torah, the midpoint of a verse, the midpoint of a parasha, the midpoint letter, word. What is the meaning of this Gemara? Right, it's obvious. It's not, is it Rabbi?
No.
No, okay. What is the meaning of this Gemara? Why is it so significant to figure out what the center word or verse is? Why did the early scholars take time to count verses, words, letters, and why do we have to label them as sofrim? It seems to be that it's so important that you have to label them after the ability to count to find the middle of a matter. The Maharal writes, the center point of any object represents the purpose and completion of that particular object. So the center point of something is very, very important. It is the center point that encompasses the essence of an object. Listen carefully, because I'm now going to segue from here, or actually he's going to segue from here, into a lesson about the Megillah. The Maharal writes, I'm repeating it, the center point of any object represents the purpose and completion of this particular object. It is the center point that encompasses the essence of an object. The center point is very important. You know, it's interesting because Lahavdil, here we're talking about Torah, but when you talk about the center point, they talk about the epicenter of a storm. The epicenter is what? The place that has the most power. The epicenter of the hurricane is the place with the most power. Or, Rahman al-Atslan, the epicenter of the coronavirus in China, Wuhan, what city did they close down? Because that was the epicenter. So you see that even in not related to Torah topics, the center of something is very important. When you check meat, you want to know, how's the center? Therefore, it is crucial to find and discover the center point, because the center point provides us with tremendous insight into the core essence of that object. Is that clear? Yes? And therefore, the Gemara goes as so far as to say that Sofrim are called, I didn't look up the Gemara, but I'm trusting I'll be fine here, that Sofrim are called Sofrim because they are counting to find the midpoint of the Torah, the word, the letter, the verse. What does this have to do with us, since this book is called Purim Eternal? When counting, ready? Very beautiful. Is everyone with me? Know what we're talking about?
I hope so.
Does everyone know what we're talking about?
Yes.
It's still blue. Baruch Hashem. So we started off, let's recap a little bit. We started off by identifying the fact that the Jews were slated for destruction. We quoted the Medrash inside that Haman told Achashverosh their God hates lewdness. Let's set up a very lewd, inappropriate party. Mordechai told them don't go. The Satan was mekatrig. The Jews did not listen. Almost 20,000 Jews went to the party, and the Satan said to the Ribono Shel Olam, how long will you cling to these people? They turn their hearts and their amuna away from you. And the reality is that despite how much we have clung to God, he has clung to us. We are still here. It's proof of the fact that the Ribono Shel Olam does not give up on us. So then we ask, is it true that our hearts, like the Satan said, have turned away from the Ribono Shel Olam? And then we said that the Megillah, quoting of Shmuel Marcus, is a Megillah where everything is hidden. Not just Hashem is hidden, Rabbi Shmuel Marcus said, it's called Megillas Esther. Even the name itself is hidden. Even the name itself, you think, only refers to the scroll of Esther. But there's something much deeper. What is much deeper? There's a whole hidden layer of stories and stories and stories. Everything is hidden. So the name looks like the simple name after the queen. The name is really telling you there's another layer. Everything is hidden. One of the elements that is hidden is the element of tefillah in the story of Esther. So Rav Soloveitchik, we just went through a beautiful piece by the Rav, where the Rav explains that the Yom Tefillah of Purim was transferred to the preceding day. The preceding day is the day of supplication, penitence, prayer, Avinu Malkeinu, Slichos, take us back. Just like Yom Kippurim precedes Simcha of Sukkos, so too Tainis Esther precedes the Simcha of Purim. Together they make up one day. Have our hearts, Ezi of Adoshi Belev, Have Omer, Zohi Tefillah, have our hearts really abandoned God? Do we see Tefillah even in the Megillah and the story itself? And the answer is yes. So now listen to what Avi Feiner writes. When counting the 167 verses of Megillas Esther, we discover the middle pasuk, the middle verse. The middle verse is chapter 5, I'm quoting from this book, verse 7, which is discussing the dialogue between Achashverosh and Esther that took place after Esther's first feast, right? She wants to save the Jews, so what does she do? She invites Haman and Achashverosh to a party. By the way, just as an aside, before we go back to this, I saw something beautiful. I think it's brought down by Rav Shimshon Pinkas. I saw something beautiful. Oh, it's Chazal teach us this. It's the Gemara, the Medrash. And then I saw it brought down by somebody. Why, when Esther, I think, Biederman, I don't remember exactly. Please forgive me. I'm not making this up. Why did Esther invite Haman and Achashverosh to a party? Not one party, two parties. Why didn't she just say, listen, I have to talk to you. This guy wants to kill us. So I believe that Chazal teach, going back to the theme of tefillah, that the Jews relied on Esther. We have a sister in the palace. She'll save us. When they saw that Esther was in cahoots, so to speak, externally, with Haman Achashverosh, they realized, Ein lanu ami lehisha'ein ela alavinu shabashamayim. We better daven to Hashem, because that Jewish queen seems to have abandoned her people. She's not helping us. She understood that if she invited Haman Achashverosh, the Jews would realize they could not rely on her. She's now a partner with them. And what would they have to do? Daven to Hashem. There is an absolute theme in the Megillah that our hearts, unlike the Satan charged, have not left God. B'chol Avavcha has not left the Ribono Shel Olam. Havei Omer Zohi Tefillah. Let's look at the middle verse. Remember, we already proved based on the Maharal and the Gemara and Kedushin how important the middle is. The middle verse is chapter 5, Parakeh, verse 7, Pasuk Zayin, which occurs at the party of Esther. Let us take a look at this verse within the context of its surrounding verses. So here we go. So now we're in Pasuk Hey, Psukim Vav, Zayin, and Ches. Zayin is the middle verse. Vayomer ha-melech la-Esther b'mishta ha-yayin, masha e-la-seich, v'in-da-seinach, u-ma-ba-kasha-seich, al-chatzi ha-malchavate-as. And the king said to Esther at the party of wine, what is your request? I will give it to you. What is your supplication? I will give you up to half the kingdom. Pasuk Zayin, which is the middle verse. The middle tells you about the importance of the subject matter. We even see this proved in science. You talk about the epicenter, the eye of the storm. That's the middle. You talk about the middle of the meat. You talk about the region in China, which is the middle of the coronavirus outbreak. Hashem Yirachem. Vatan Esther Vatomer She'ela Siu Vakashasi. That's the middle verse. Esther answers and she says, She'ela si uvakasha si, my request and my supplication. What is tefillah? A request and a supplication. If I found favor in the eyes of the king, if it's good to the king, to give me she'ela si, she repeats it. V'la asos es bakasha si. Now we wouldn't expect this. Yavo amech v'amen el amishta. What's the next request? Come to another party. We already quoted why. Can't remember if I read it from Biderman or of Shimshon Pinkas. I'm absolutely not making it up. The Jews believed Esther abandoned them, so to speak. She abdicated the Jewish throne, and now she was forcing them to daven. So I want you to come tomorrow. Okay, so on Pasuk Vav writes Avi Feiner, Achashverosh asks Esther, what's your request? I will grant it to you. Esther responds by saying, She'ela si uvakasha si. That's the epicenter of the Megillah. The eye of the storm. It's a story about tefillah. The Satan says, you people, how long do you stick by them? They have removed their hearts and their amunah. And it's not true. But her actual request is not recorded until the following verse. When she says, come to another party. It is fascinating and somewhat perplexing, continuing to quote from Avi Feiner, that the entirety of the middle verse in the Megillah consists of, you might think it talks about don't destroy the Jewish people, you might think it talks about, I don't know, give me back the silver, please give the signet ring to Mordechai. The whole epicenter of the entire Megillah is, Vatan Esther Vatoma She'ela Siu Vakasha Si. If you took that and you show that to somebody in isolation, okay, everybody knows from the time we're little, we learned the story. It's unfortunate that sometimes when we are 43, we still know the story the same way we learned it in kindergarten. Hopefully we are coming past that. But Ezra, Hashem, I mean that literally with God's help. But if you show that to someone in isolation, and you said, so what is this whole story about? I'm going to show you the eye of the storm. And you tell me what it's about. Vatan Esther Vatoma She'ela Siu Vakasha Si. It's about some maiden and her prayer and her supplication and her plea. It doesn't even mention the content of her request in the middle verse of the Megillah. There must be something very noteworthy about the mere fact that Esther is making a request that would cause our center focus to be turned She'ela Siu Vakasha Si. Now, Avi Feiner says, let's calculate the middle word of the Megillah. Not only that, was the middle pasuk.
He counted every single word.
Don't ruin it. His mother knows. Similarly, if we calculate the middle word of the Megillah, we find the center word is She'ela Si. The middle pasuk is Vatan Esther Vatomer She'ela Si Uvakasha Si. And the middle word is Perek He Pasuk Ches She'ela Si. That's the middle word of the entire Megillah. The middle word is my request. The middle pasuk is my bakasha and my she'ela. We see that both the middle verse and the middle word of the Megillah share the exact same idea. And it's also noteworthy, he points out, that in this passage, it doesn't say Achashverosh. If you listen to the psukim again, Vayomer ha-melech la-Esther b'mishta ha-yayin, ma-she'ela-seich, vatan Esther, im atzasi chen b'enei ha-melech, v'im al ha-melech tov, She does not actually explicitly mention Achashverosh, which is a further hidden layer in the Megillah, where we know that when it does not say HaMelech Achashverosh, it's actually referring to the Ribono Shel Olam. What about the term She'elah Siyus, so central to the theme of the Megillah? It's the subject of the middle verse, as well as the exact center where it's the eye of the storm. Maybe the eye of the storm would be Venahapachu. Maybe the eye of the storm would be Mishloach Manos. Maybe the eye of the storm would be Balayla Hahu Nidado Shnas HaMelech. Those are all important. But you know what the most important is? That the Satan is wrong. That my heart never leaves God. Even when I am confused by the schmutz of this world and the tumah of Galus, and we think we belong at the party of the king, the Satan is wrong. What is the correlation between the word She'ela to the holiday of Purim? Says Avi Feiner. We can better understand this connection by looking at what the Rambam tells us was the focal point of the miracle of Purim. The very reason we read the Megillah on Purim, writes the Rambam, is to praise Hashem, to listening to our prayers and our cries for help. So the whole idea of Tainis Esther, as so beautifully, poetically written up and shared with us by Rav Soloveitchik, actually leads us so beautifully into the day of Purim, which is also a day of tefillah. But just like the lave is hidden, the lave is nistar, so too the concept of tefillah on Yom Purim is nistar. One more layer uncovered in Megillat Esther, a scroll where everything is hidden. Wow. Says the Rambam, the Megillah conveys closeness with which he relates to us when we call out to him in prayer. Therefore, says Avi Feiner, the Rambam is informing us a major theme in the holiday of Purim is She'ela Ubakasha, asking and beseeching Hashem with our request, with our prayers, to save us, just as he did in the time of Purim. It is not a coincidence that the central verse and the central word of the Megillah focus on Esther's request from HaMelech, which can be construed as Esther simultaneously making a request to God, the Melech Malchei Melechim, the King of all kings. In fact, the gematria of the word She'ela, Shin Aleph Lamed Hei, right? Because the center pasuk was Vatan Esther Vatomer She'ela Si Vakasha Si, and the middle word was She'ela Si. So we have already proved that one of the hidden lists. Isn't it amazing? It's not amazing? Megillat Esther, Megillat Esther. It's not just a story about one person. Esther Minotor Minayim Anochi Esther Esther Panayim Kameyamu. Everything in this book is hidden. It's a book of hidden. Perhaps it's because it's a story that occurs in Galus. And in Galus, so much of the truth is hidden. It's so difficult. We are pulled, the Tuma, the Shmutz, the Haman, Zachashverosh, the Zonos, the Beis Mishta. We live in such a society. And it's hard when the truth is hidden from us to remember that our hearts and our Amunah are always with the Ribono Shel Olam, even when we become confused. Continues Avi Feiner, the gematria of the word She'ela, Shin Aleph Lamed Hei, is 336, which is precisely the same gematria of the word Purim, spelled Malei, Pei Vav Reish Kirben. The middle sentence, Atan Esther Vatoma She'ela Si Uvakasha Si, the middle word, She'ela Si, he has already proved that the midpoint is the epicenter, and we looked at examples in nature and in cooking. Am I forgetting the other places? Even a necklace, often, the midpoint, it's a good example, the midpoint is where your focus is. Is the most important. The midpoint is her request of the king. The middle word is her She'ela. The gematria of She'ela is Purim itself. It would seem to point towards a further link, writes Avi Feiner, between Purim and the concept of making a request. And now he quotes something that I was planning to quote inside. So instead of quoting from Avi Feiner now, I'm actually going to quote from the Gemara itself. So the Gemara famously tells us, well, the Megillah famously tells us, that's a joke in yeshivas. The Gemara says, Ish Yehudi Haya B'Shusha Nabira. Get it? The Megillah, the Nach, says, Ish Yehudi Haya B'Shusha Nabira. Okay, forget it. Ish Yehudi Haya B'Shusha, you know, the Gemara will quote a pasuk from Nechemiah, so you'll say, the Gemara says, quoting the pasuk from Nechemiah. The Gemara says, quoting the pasuk from Mishlei. It's not the Gemara. Mishlei, Nechemiah. The Gemara expands upon. Forget it. Taking time to explain a joke is not good. Ish Yehudi Hayab. You all know this because it's the first one of the pasukim that we say aloud. It's a perek beis pasuk hey of the Megillah. Ish Yehudi Hayab B'Shushan Abira. I know we learned this in our in-depth shir, so you're going to have a review. Ish Yehudi Hayab B'Shushan Abira. Shmo Mordechai ben Yair ben Shimi ben Kish Ish Yemini. So the Gemara questions the yichus that is given here from Mordechai Tzadik, because in fact, just like the Megillah occurred over time and it wasn't one after another, so too these ancestors of Mordechai actually were spanned out over time and they were not one after another. It's not him and then his father and then his grandfather and his great-grandfather. There were generations between. So why do we only speak about these ancestors? Ma'ika Amar, what does the verse mean by teaching us? Oh, sorry, I'm in Maseches Megillah, Yud Beis, Amud Beis, 12b. If it's coming, Mamash to give his yichus. Now, why didn't he go all the way back to Binyamin? We know he was from Ishimini, and Rashi on the Megillah tells us, the Gabar, he was from the tribe of Binyamin. So if you want to give me his yichus, go back. For that matter, go back to Yaakov. Why stop? Why are these specific forefathers of his different that they are mentioned? Yishudi Haya B'Shushan Abira. Okay. We already saw his role when we first meet him in the Medrash, when he's warning the Jews not to go to the party, back in Perek Aleph. Mordechai, that's his name. A reference to him in the Chumash is by the Ketores mixture. Ben Shimi, Ben Kish, Now here we go. The Gemara says, Tana Kulan al Shemo Nikru'u. All of the names are different designations of Mordechai himself. What does that mean? What was the essence of Mordechai? Vayetze Besochair, Vayizak Za'aka, Gadol Amar. We actually do have a reference in Perek Dal Pasukal. I'm taking a break from the Gemara for a second. The Megillah does actually tell us, Beferush, not hidden, that Mordechai does scream out. And Za'aka, Gadol Amar is a prayer to God to save the Jews. So the Gemara says that all of his ancestors listed here are really a reference to the essence of Mordechai. What is the essence of Mordechai? Ben Yair. Ben Shehi'ir, a name Shayisrael b'tfilaso. Yair from light, or Ben Yair because he was one who lightened the eyes of Israel through his tefillah. Ben Shim'i, so it's pretty obvious in where we're going here. Lishmoa means to hear. Ben Shim'i, Ben Shashama al tefilaso. He was one to whom God listened to his prayers. Yair, he enlightened the eyes of Israel with his tefillah. Shim'i, Shashama al tefilaso. The Rabbanu Shel Olam Almighty listened to his prayer. Ben Kish, it's from the word knock. Shehi Kish al Sha'arei Rachamim. He stood up against the kategor, against the satan. He stood at the gates of mercy, the niftchulo, shehikish al sha'arei rachamim. He knocked on the gates of mercy, al pidin. The Jews did not deserve to have the decree overturned. Mordechai beseeched midas harachamim, the niftchulo, and they were opened for him. So even the name of Mordechai, we see, is actually an allusion not only to his names, but to the idea of tefillah. The whole day is a day, the whole 2 days, I should say. Starting from Tainis Esther, even though it's a long day and sometimes we're busy, we have to have the proper kavana. Even when Esther Hamalka says, we start a little late. Even when Esther Hamalka says, give me a couple minutes. So the Gemara says she is compared to an ayala, a hind, and therefore the Gemara brings down that she recited Kapitel Chaf Beis of Tehillim as she was on her way to the king. Lama Azav Tani Rechok Mishu Asi Divrei Shagasi. Alohai Ekra Yaman Velo Sane Velaila Velo Dumi Ali. I call out to you by day, there's no answer. I call out at night, there is no tranquility for me. Even this is a reference to prayer. Hashem Shemfal Hirsch, I know you all know it, worth repeating, famously says in his commentary, to Tehillim, don't read it lama, but read it lama, for what purpose is my suffering? And I just listened to a shir the other week by Rabbi Zev Leff when he says, madua, you can't ask of God. That's asking to intellectually know why. We can't intellectually know either Bona Shalom says anything. Madua, you cannot ask. But lama is lama. And lama is a valid question. For what purpose is my suffering? When we turn to the Ribbono Shel Olam, the epicenter, the eye of the storm, the whole focus of the Megillah, is She'ela Si V'Kasha Si. Tainis Esther allows us the Yom Tefillah Techina V'Kasha Sha'ava, the Yom Kippurim that precedes the Simcha. It should be that just as the Ribbono Shel Olam answered their prayers, Vayuhu Maisa Ora V'Simcha V'Sasam V'Ikar, wish you a meaningful, easy fast, and a freilich and purim. Thank you, everybody.